Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome into Redacted. Empty seat today. Natalie's off today. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome in to the big show. We've got a very busy show for you on this post-debate Wednesday, September 11th. Of course, it is September 11th. And after today's show, we are continuing our series of honoring those victims of September 11th by sharing the truth of what happened on that day and exposing the propaganda and the lies and the cover-up of what happened on September 11th. So after today's live show, you will have an opportunity to watch an interview that we've done on a specific angle of the cover-up around 9/11. So be sure to stick around for that. We will publish that video almost immediately following today's show. And if you're watching on YouTube, it will just redirect you automatically to that premiere. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. YouTube's tools are like hit and miss, you know. I've, for the very first time, received an email that Redacted was live. Isn't that amazing? Like, I host this show. Yet 2 days ago, for the very first time, I got an email in my inbox announcing that our show was live, even though I have that notification turned on. So how many of you actually get notified and get emails? Isn't it amazing? I'm the host of the show, and this is the first time I ever got an email from YouTube letting us know that we're live. It's absolutely crazy.
Yesterday, when I was trying to find the show, I'm a channel manager. And over on the left, in my subscriptions, it showed every one of my subscriptions live. Redacted wasn't there. I had to actually type it into the search bar to get to it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's crazy how they try to suppress and hide what we do here. But hey, thank you guys for being a part of our show every day. We appreciate it. You know where to find us. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you don't get a notification, you know what something's going on there. Something fishy is happening there. But we're live on Rumble and, of course, on X as well. As always, these are free speech platforms that we're talking about there. Today, I want to talk about the NGOs that are running polling locales across the United States. These are non-government organizations. This did not come up last night during the presidential debate. The NGOs that are responsible for human trafficking, child trafficking in the United States of America, part of the massive Department of Homeland Security apparatus that is leading to the invasion of the United States, as well as the human trafficking element. Only a portion of that came up last night, just the immigration piece, totally leaving out the human trafficking and child trafficking pieces of this. So we're going to sit down and do a deep dive with our friend Ryan Matta today on how these NGOs actually operate and how they're getting involved in the election process at polling locations. We're going to talk about that. Also, new inflation data just came out. And of course, they are trying to spin it that it's going down and it's actually going up. We're going to show you their creative ways that they're trying to spin this. And a new study showing that Americans simply aren't having children. They can't afford to have children. So this is, you know, you want to talk about the great replacement theory. Here you are in action. Americans can't afford to have kids. You know what? Bring in 20 million of them from other countries. It's exactly what's happening. So we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about a little post-debate stuff here and Megyn Kelly's response to. We had a very similar response, but it's always great to bring in another voice here on the show to the debate last night and how those ABC moderators basically, were doing live fact-checking of President Trump, totally ignoring the things that Kamala Harris was saying. So we're going to talk about that in the show today as well.
Moderators needs to be in quotes, moderators, because they were basically debating.
So we're going to go through a few key sort of very egregious moments in that debate last night. And let us know, let us know in the comments. Maybe, David, you could put a poll up here on our YouTube channel. I don't think Rumble, does Rumble do votes yet?
No, they do
not. I'm going to ask our team over at Rumble. I'm going to text our friends over at Rumble and ask them. We got to get a poll situation set up on Rumble. That would be amazing. So put it up here on YouTube. You know, who do you think... who do you think won last night's debate, or if there's another question that you guys think would be better here, but post that one up there and we'll get a sense of where you guys come down on that. All right. So we're going to get to all of that news today. But first, do you want a better way to simplify financial operations for your business across expenses, vendor payments, and accounting? If so, Ramp could be a complete game changer for your company. If you feel like your finance software isn't cutting it, and you want the latest and greatest in financial software to simplify your spending, help you save time, keep you from getting trapped in busy work, then you need to check out Ramp. Are you a financial professional looking for a better way to maximize productivity? Ramp is the corporate card and spend management software designed to help you save time and put money back in your pocket. Ramp gives your financial teams unprecedented control and insight into company spending. Are you guys spending too much on traveling? What about just expenses out for lunch for your team? What about too much money on services and software? With Ramp, you're able to issue cards out to every employee with limits and restrictions and automate expense reporting so you can stop wasting time at the end of every month. Ramp saves you money. Businesses that use Ramp save an average of 5% the first year. Ramp is easy to use, so you can get started with an issue of virtual physical cards as well immediately and start making payments in less than 15 minutes if you just want those virtual cards, whether you have 5 employees or 5,000 employees. So now you can get $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/redacted. That's ramp.com/redacted. That's ramp.com/redacted. And cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Well, two bombshell stories to get to now. What if we told you that the very same organizations facilitating the massive human trafficking, human smuggling operation, and the invasion across the United States borders are also now making record profits, and they're being put in charge of election polling locations? Yes, facilitating our elections in the United States. You can't make this up. And last night, President Trump called out Aurora, Colorado, among other cities, for the violent Venezuelan gangs that have taken over apartment complexes. Watch.
You look at Springfield, Ohio. You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that Xi and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality, and we have to get them out. We have to get them out fast.
Of course, this is all being orchestrated and planned, but wait until you hear who used to run Aurora's emergency management services. Again, you can't make all of this up. These stories almost sound made up, but they're true. Joining me now is Ryan Mata. He's an investigative journalist and documentary filmmaker who's uncovered some pretty incredible information. Ryan, great to see you as always, my friend.
Hey, Clayton. Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's a real treat. First, I want to talk about, because of, you know, news of the day, what happened last night during the Trump presidential debate and when he talked about Aurora, Colorado. We're going to get to the NGOs here in a second, which is in and of itself a bombshell story. But I couldn't believe I was hearing during a presidential debate calling out certain American cities for being overrun with Venezuelan gangs. And of course, you have some information. Let's just talk about Aurora here. What have you uncovered?
Aurora, Colorado. It's funny, Clayton, you start to wonder how all these cities are connected and why specific cities are being affected the way they are, why certain areas are, you know, taking the full brunt of this weaponized mass migration. So I started to dig into Aurora, Colorado, and I started to dig into FEMA because FEMA is where all the NGOs are getting their funding from. So I Googled, you know, who's the director of FEMA? And guess who it is? Deanne Criswell, the director of FEMA. Guess where she used to work at? Guess what her employment was, according to her LinkedIn, Clayton?
I know it sounds made up, but Aurora, it's amazing how all of these stories come back to one, you know, to one place, right?
The emergency manager of the city of Aurora is now the director of FEMA.
So what did she do? Do we, you know, when you look at the pieces that she might have put in place to facilitate these individuals coming out of Denver, moving into the city and then moving into Aurora, you know, are you able to trace back any of these programs, positions that would have allowed these violent individuals to come to Aurora under her watch?
Absolutely, Clayton. We're just getting I literally just uncovered this right before I came on your show. So I'm getting ready to unpack and connect all the dots. But there are several other high-level bureaucrats that we can get into that have really phenomenal connections. And I can put all the pieces together for you. So whenever you want to get into those NGOs, we can dive right into it.
Right. So this week we saw Catholic Charities and non-governmental organizations, one of the facilitators of this invasion of all these illegal immigrants coming into the United States, among other charities. Catholic Charities has gotten a lot of the attention. They're just one of them. But this week we learned that Catholic Charities was raking in record profits under the Biden administration. Why does a Catholic Charities, a non-governmental organization, suddenly triple its revenue in the past few years under the Biden administration? What reason would they have to be making all of this money? But it's not just Catholic Charities. First of all, let's talk about Catholic Charities, and let's talk about some of these other NGOs raking in all of these profits.
So Catholic Charities is one of the main NGOs. They're all over the United States. I would say that they're probably one of the largest migrant NGOs. They're probably responsible for a majority of the damage that's being done to our country. These NGOs operate as the, I guess, the law-breaking arm of the United States government. So our Constitution protects us. Our government is not allowed to do things like aid and abet illegal immigrants that are breaking into our country. So that's where the NGOs come in. The NGOs come in and they fill the role that our government can't do. For example, we have 40,000-bed ICE detention facilities all across America that could be housing these illegal immigrants that are breaking into our country. But they can't do that because it's against the law. So that's where the NGOs come in. So these NGOs are carrying out all the illegal activity that that our Constitution prevents our government from carrying out.
Just to be clear, so ICE, as J.J. Carroll, friend of the show, and of course your collaborator on the new documentary that you're working on, has pointed out, these ICE beds are virtually empty, right? So we have facilities across the United States with all of these beds, these ICE detention beds and facilities that are virtually empty. And then these non-governmental organizations, Catholic Charities and others, are then facilitating the transfer of these individuals around the country and basically putting them up in housing and putting them up in hotels, right? So they're not using the ICE beds at all.
Not at all, Clayton. You nailed it right on the head.
It's incredibly disturbing. So let's talk about what, as I mentioned at the beginning here, you've uncovered, and it relates to election and in the polling centers. So you have Catholic Charities raking in huge record numbers of profits. Then your work on the Southwest Key program. So let's unpack this for our audience so they understand, because this can be a little bit convoluted here. But when you understand that these non-governmental organizations are making millions, if not billions of dollars to facilitate this invasion and then also be put in charge of election polling places, this is mind-blowing to me.
Absolutely mind-blowing, Clayton. So let me break this down. So Southwest Key Programs, Endeavor, and Global Refugees, these are three key NGO organizations. Global Refugees, Southwest Key Programs, and Endeavor saw their combined revenue skyrocket from $597 million in 2019 to a whopping $2 billion in 2022. Global Refugees CEO Krish Venga was compensated over $500,000, and the organization received $250 million in federal rewards just in 2022. Now, Endeavors, Inc. skyrocketed. They ranked in $1.5 billion as the CEO, Chip Fungelman, was paid $750,000. The prominent NGO used taxpayer funds to offer migrant children pet therapy, Holocauster therapy, and music therapy, according to Free Press. In 2021, Christy Merrill, a music therapist, right? Their music therapist was paid $533,000 for her services. Most recently, it was revealed the organization Endeavors did 1,625 plant therapy sessions, Clayton.
Plant therapy?
Plant therapy, you heard that right, and 287 pet therapy sessions, 3,985 music therapy sessions, and this was conducted between April of 2021 and March of 2023. Now, let me hit you with Endeavors real quick, and I'll give you back the mic. Endeavors, in 2022, federal disclosure, was also paid $5 million to the company to provide full in-doctor and nursing visits, $4.6 million in consultation services, and $1.4 million to attend conferences, and they paid lobbyists $700,000. In 2021, the company spent $8 million on housing migrants in hotels belonging to a specific development company. Southwest Key Programs received nearly $800 million in federal rewards in 2022, and the organization's CEO, Dr. Verreal, was compensated over $1 million last year.
Where are they getting this money from? Why do they need this much money? It's shocking to me. I mean, I think, you know, when I saw that Catholic Charity story just the other day and I saw the amount of revenue that they're raking in, like, who's Catholic Charities? Why do they need this much money? What is actually happening here?
Clayton, the more you peel back and you dive into these NGOs, it's absolutely going to blow your mind because everything is connected. So let me throw this one at you, right? We have the director of ORR. Her name is Robin Marcos. She serves as the deputy assistant director to the Secretary for Humanitarian Services and the director of ORR, which is the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Now, she's oversees the unaccompanied child programs, and they provide care and custody for unaccompanied migrant children who are referred to ORR's care until they are released to a quote-unquote vetted sponsor. And we know how that goes, right?
Right.
Now, the organization, right, prior to joining ORR, Robin served as the senior director for the IRC, which is another NGO, the International Rescue Committee. This organization specializes in resettlement, asylum, integration programs, and in this role, Robin led a team that supported programming and provided technical assistance across the IRC offices in both the United States and Europe. She also provided oversight to the resettlement support centers in Asia. This location provides overseas processing for inbound refugees into the United States through the U.S. Refugee and Admissions Program. Now, in response to Operation Allies Welcome, Robin led a team of over 400 staff and volunteers that stood up processing facilities in 10 sanctuary cities all across America, where over 77,000 Afghan refugees were processed into America. You remember when that? We were taking all those plane loads of people from Afghanistan? Well, Marcos, here's the kicker. She left the organization in 2017 when she was the vice president of resettlement and migration policies at the IRC. Now, before her or after her departure, she was tapped to join in 2022. She became the senior, she left the IRC's senior director, and she was handpicked by the Biden administration to be the director of ORR. Now, Marcos also served as the executive director of the IRC's Phoenix branch for 15 years. She spent 23 years there total, and then she spent another 4 years at another NGO called Church World Services. Let's see if we can connect these dots, right? Between 2021 and 2022, grant spending for these NGOs went from $33 million, Clayton, to $400 million. $400 million. And this year in 2023, it jumped to $616 million. So you mean to tell me magically this lady left a $1 million a year salary position at a $1 billion NGO to come and deal with trafficked children and make $180,000 for our government? But yet the NGOs that she used to work for, their income went from $33 million to up to now $616
million? So dirty. It's all so dirty and dark. Facilitating the, you know, the trafficking of human children throughout the United States, facilitating this under the Department of Homeland Security. That's exactly what's happening here. So the government can sort of wash its hands of it. The Biden administration can say, you know, these are non-governmental organizations carrying out this. So they can kind of step back from this and have sort of plausible deniability, I guess, in all of this. But as you and J.J. Carroll uncovered through different sources, we have a soundbite here that I want to play. Can you explain what we're going to hear here and why this is so damning?
Yeah, Clayton, this is a confidential human source. This is a gentleman that was at the highest level. So in Border Patrol and FBI and all these different organizations, you have GS pay scales, GS 10, 12, 13, 14, all the way up. Well, you can take a specific assignment where you get sent to Washington, D.C., because nobody wants to go to Washington, D.C. You do the assignment for a year, and after you come back, you can pick where you want to go, and you get topped out at the pay scale. So this gentleman went to D.C. He was the man that was writing the checks to the NGOs, not directly to the NGOs, but he was writing the checks to FEMA. So he's going to explain exactly how that operation works and how our government is actually giving money to these NGOs.
Were you making payments to that Jewish Family Services, was that your main person, or did you cut checks to Catholic charities?
Sure, the checks were just cashed, or the checks were just approved to pay the non-governmental organizations. FEMA took care of the rest. FEMA was the one, we would all go to the table and everyone would talk and discuss the needs. And if there was objections, people would object and say, well, hold on, we need this over here, we need this over here. Whenever FEMA came to the table, it was always, we need this, we need this, we need this.
It's incredible. So what he's saying here is that he doesn't have to give them directly to the NGOs. They're cutting checks to FEMA, and then FEMA, through whatever sort of backdoor program they're using, is then funneling all of this money to Catholic charities, to Southwest Key Opera, all of these different NGOs throughout the country to facilitate the invasion of the United States with illegal immigration and child trafficking.
Absolutely, Clayton. And not just that, like we had touched on earlier, Southwest Key Programs is now running polling locations in Texas. So the NGO that's been accused of trafficking children is now also in charge of running polling locations, and technically would they be securing our elections? You think the NGOs that are trafficking children are going to be running free and fair elections in America?
This is amazing. So let's put this up here on the screen. You uncovered they're going to be running these polling locations, encouraging people to come out, and they're going to be facilitating this. The same people that are literally bringing, facilitating human trafficking.
You can't make it up, Clayton. And I can't believe that this is not the biggest story in America right now. This is not just me saying this or accusing it. I sent you the links of their personal Facebook page, posts made by the CEO of Southwest Key Programs, encouraging people to come and vote at their national headquarters located at, and the address is right here on the screen, 6002 Jane Lane in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, these are, you know, these, yeah, here's some posts from November of 2022. Here's the president and CEO of Southwest Key Program encourages you to vote. Get out, find out more about your polling site and state. Please visit your local county election office and website. So they are, and it says, vote Aki. Vote here, vote Aki. So this is unbelievable. This is their Facebook page that you have here. I'll put this up on the screen as well. And I mean, we know now that the House of Representatives, we know that Republicans are going to be pushing out polling poll watchers. We just got that news overnight. They're going to be sending out poll watchers and trying to watch and make sure that the voting, you know, these voting in polling locations, that there's transparency and that people aren't being coerced a certain way in which to vote. But this is deeply, deeply important, and deeply troubling. Have they responded to any requests about this?
You know, I sent this up the flagpole. I don't want to drop any names, but I sent it to somebody that I know is very high up in the RNC. I haven't heard a word of it since. And I sent this probably, I uncovered this, Clayton, over 4 months ago. And every time I get to get on a show, I try to drop it, but nobody picked it up. And then I show it to you for 1 second. You're like, what the heck? Thank you. Thank you for having, you know, speaking about this.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm flabbergasted that Americans are suffering right now, and these non-governmental organizations are getting millions, if not billions of dollars from government funding in order to facilitate the invasion of the United States, to put money towards polling places, election, whatever. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here? Electioneering, we don't know. And the trafficking of children across the United States. It's shocking to me that more people don't know about this. And of course, we recently had a Senate hearing on such corruption, such darkness, and that was suppressed. I mean, did that surprise you at all? A Senate hearing was like blocked and banned on Facebook. It wasn't allowed. You couldn't even really talk about it. It gets suppressed all over the news. When you do stories about it on the big tech platforms, they suppress it and hide it. Does that surprise you at all?
Nope. Catholic Charities has their net worth is $4.7 billion. How is a nonprofit worth $4.7 billion, Clayton? They get government support, $1.4 billion, private donations, $1 billion, other income, $2.2 billion. And they're allowed to hold assets, which means they can hold stocks, they can hold real estate. They don't have to get rid of that at the end of the day or at the end of the year. They just have to have a zero balance in their bank account to be considered an NGO.
Right. Government support, $1.4 billion. Private donations, $1 billion. And other income, $2.2 billion. Other income. It's always curious. I love that the other income column is larger than the other ones, and yet we don't know where that money comes from. It's deeply disturbing. I hope Americans wake up to this. I was really sad. I was actually really sad last night during the presidential debate to have there's almost no discussion about the human trafficking element of this and the NGOs. Nothing about the NGOs came up last night during the presidential debate because, you know, you have hack journalists asking questions from ABC News. What did you want to hear last night during the presidential debate on this subject?
That was it, Clayton. You're 100% right. The child trafficking. I thought that was the most important. We have 325,000 missing children that they've admitted to. And you know, by interviewing us and talking to us, that number is drastically higher than 325,000. But they've openly admitted to losing 325,000 children. Trump could have commanded that whole debate and kept bringing every single question they threw at him right back to that. When are we going to start talking about the 325,000 missing migrant children in America?
Yeah, I think it was a huge missed opportunity last night, and I don't think we're going to have another presidential debate. And this will get swept under the rug once again unless we continue to shine light on it. And what you and JJ are doing is shining a light on it. What we're hoping to do here is shining a light on it. Before we let you go, Ryan, can you tell folks about the documentary that you and JJ, it's a two-piece documentary that you guys have uncovered, because you really started out focusing on the illegal immigration piece, but then the child trafficking, human trafficking became maybe even larger and more important. So can you talk about the two documentaries and how people can find it? Because you guys are about to launch this.
Yes, we are, Clayton. We're launching it on Friday, so I'm super, super excited. You know, we started out on a mission, and the mission was, can we define what is treason? We know that the left is very good at changing the name and changing terminology. They did it with the gain of function and Fauci and everything that they did. So we wanted to ask the question, what is treason? And me and JJ, we're going to go on a mission. We're going to travel across America to the epicenter of this destruction. And we are going to prove to you that this is treason. What's being done to America is treason. Now, in the process, everything that we went to, every site we saw, every person that we interviewed, it all boiled back to child trafficking. It all came back to child trafficking or pedophilia or something of the sort. So in the process, you've met Carlos Arellano and Tara Rodas and several of these other whistleblowers. Well, JJ was really adamant after we started to interview all these other people and connecting those dots, he wanted to hear the full story from the whistleblowers. So we asked if I could set up those interviews. I did. After we finished our trip and we came back and we sat down to edit to make What is Treason Invaded, I realized what I had here. And I had enough to tell the entire story of what these children experience as they're being trafficked into America. And because it's so important, nothing matters. I mean, these are God's children, and there's 325,000 of them that we can save, or at the very least, probably 50,000 right now that are in facilities all across America that are sitting and waiting to be sold or handed over to a pedophile, a human trafficker, a drug smuggler, an MS-13 gang member. Right now, we can save at least 50,000 that are in these locations all across America, but we need everybody in America to wake up and realize this is happening. So over the last 25 days, Clayton, listen, we finished filming 25 days ago, and I'm going to deliver a documentary in 4 days. And 25 days later, from start to finish, edited, because that's how important this story is, Clayton. And it's going to shock the world. If people thought Sound of Freedom was hard to watch because of what they were showing, this is going to make Sound of Freedom look like Disney on Ice. It's going to be heartbreaking. And when America sees this, I hope they realize what their government has done to these children.
Well, we thank you for all the hard work that you and JJ have done on this. And we will have it linked up here in the description if people want to go and pre-order the documentary right now and check it out. We'll have that linked up in the show, because people need to see this. As hard as it is to watch, we need to see this and wake up. Ryan, great to see you. Thank you for all the incredible work on this.
God bless you, Clayton. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan. And so, you know, person in the chat here just asking, Melody says, you know, oh no, I'm sorry, Coinage says, Clayton, the American people are now awake to this now. What the hell do you suggest us physically do? Well, first of all, you should be demanding accountability from your local representatives, because this is happening in our backyards. These facilities, these former Walmarts that have been converted into these child trafficking centers that are being run by these NGOs are sitting right in your backyard. Go to your local. All politics is local, and the most important politics is local, and the most changes that we can affect in the United States happen locally. Most people focus on Trump and everything, and Kamala Harris, that's one thing. Most change happens locally. Now, if you can make your local community aware that there are children being trafficked in your backyard at these facilities, whether it's in Texas, we've documented many of them right here on the show. If you live within 30 miles of those places, you should be going to your local council meetings. You should be calling your local representatives, demanding action on these things, and alerting local law enforcement. These individuals are being trafficked and sent around the country and disappearing. This is happening right behind your schools. It's happening down the street from the warehouse that you drive by all the time. It's happening right in plain sight. And that's what's so damn troubling about it. I mean, some of these facilities that we've shown right here on the show, that Carlos has featured here on our show, right out in the daylight. They're right on. They look like a, you know, they're former Walmart centers.
Well, and
former warehouses,
and also,
just converted.
The U.S. Attorney General and the FBI created an election task force, and it's to focus on Russian interference in the election, but specifically, they're saying harassing poll workers. They want to make sure that the Republicans cannot get in there. It's going to be a criminal offense if people harass the poll workers. And I think they're setting that for Republicans because they want these people to stay in power. The people that are doing this, they want them to stay in power. And they're taking every step they can to make sure that that happens.
Yeah. I mean, our country is being taken from us. And so you're going to have these poll workers. That's why Republicans announced over the past 24 hours. Look, I believe there's a uniparty. This has happened under the uniparty's watch here, the deep state uniparty that controls that's the permanent government. It's the permanent government that's there, whether Trump's there or not, whether Biden's there or not. These are all puppets, mostly. And so the uniparty has been controlling this. We know the Republicans over the past 24 hours have said they're going to now take Congressional Hill staffers and put them at different polling locations for transparency purposes. So, again, yeah, go volunteer at your local polling places. Make sure that you're there watching and being a part of that process. Contact your local representatives. Demand accountability. Look up and try to identify, depending on where you're living, are there any of these trafficking centers that are run by these NGOs in your backyard? Like, we should all be citizen journalists right now. I mean, and you need to protect your neighborhood. You need to protect your family. Protect the children in your neighborhood, and do what you can. But I think sitting there and just getting angry about it's not enough. We need to demand accountability from our elected leaders and our officials. And that's why, you know, yesterday we covered here on the show these Tennessee officials who, you know, something's very, very dirty in Tennessee. And these elected officials down there are running scared right now because of what was about to be uncovered. And that's why the TBI swooped in and put a stop to it. So, again, these guys, these politicians, they are dirty. They are absolutely dirty. So we got a clean house with a lot of these guys in a lot of these different communities right now. Mikey says, how is Redacted able to talk about this on their channel? I mean,
we actually don't quite know if we are able to at this point.
I mean, if you read YouTube's terms of service, whenever we do a segment on trafficking, child trafficking, we always get demonetized. Always. We can request a review, but it's always demonetized because their thinking is that advertisers wouldn't want to advertise on a segment like this. It'd just be too dark, you know? But then we have advertisers that are brave that do. So I don't know. I mean, it just depends. When we do certain segments here on the show, anytime we cover 9/11, demonetized. Doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. We just demonetized almost immediately. Cover this segment, gets demonetized. So we read, you know, YouTube's terms of service because it is the biggest platform out there. We can reach as many people as we can. Rumble doesn't have this problem. They're a free speech platform. But YouTube has their terms of service, and we try to get the message out as much as we can. And if there's a story we know we absolutely can't do here on the channel, then we just go over to Rumble. I mean, that's just the way we have to do it.
The biggest issue with YouTube is like they might come up with something and say, okay, tomorrow, this video, they might be like, well, you know what? This is now against the guidelines. It becomes retroactive. So if we've ever talked about it in the past, they go back and we can lose all of those videos. So if they make a guideline change like that, we have to go in and we have to look at every video we've done and make sure that we pull it down or whatever. So it's frustrating.
That's infuriating. I mean, it's incredibly difficult. It's incredibly difficult for independent media right now, guys. So we have a few sponsors here on the show that support us, and they've been with us for a long time. And we have new sponsors that want to join us, and that's great. And we're thankful for them, but we're thankful for your support and just subscribing here and being a part of our community because, you know, we are not a multi-billion-dollar company like News Corp or any of these Scripps Network or any of these things that get all of their money from biopharmaceutical companies and everything else. We don't. So anyway, we're a small little operation here. So thank you for your support. All right, we got a lot more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to talk about the debate. And some of the things that may or may not have come up last night on the economy was kind of shifty. We didn't hear a lot about the plans from really either side exactly how we're going to get this inflation down, because we just got new inflation numbers out today that show just how bad August numbers are. And yet the Biden administration is trying to spin it as, oh, it's a good thing. We're going to pick apart that propaganda. And most Americans right now, young Americans are saying, we're just not even have children. We can't afford children. So Americans' birth rate is declining, but don't worry, they're being replaced with millions of illegal immigrants. So that's good. Now, we're also going to talk more about the debate in just a little bit. But first, if you sleep hot at night, you know just how disruptive it can be. Whether you're having trouble falling asleep, you're waking up sweating in the middle of the night, or all of the above, that's where Ghost Bed can help. Let us know in the comments right now, do you guys sleep hot or cold? Or are you just like a normal sleeper?
I'm always, you know, hot.
Always hot. Me too. I'm always freaking hot. I can't stand it. And then my wife, Natalie, she's always cold. And then, you know, halfway through the night, then she's like, oh, now I'm hot. So it's like, you never find, you know, happy medium. That's where Ghost Bed can totally help you. It's the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Ghost Bed is your go-to for cooling mattresses, cooling pillows, and even cooling bedding. From their signature ghost iced fabric to patented technology that adjusts with your body temperature, every ghost bed mattress is designed with cooling in mind. So whether you want a plusher mattress that cushions your shoulders and hips or a firmer option with exceptional support, your ghost bed will help keep you cool and comfortable all night long. And we're about to buy my daughter a new bed, and so we're going to get her a ghost bed. When you purchase a ghost bed mattress, your comfort is guaranteed. You can try your mattress for 101 days, and that's what we told our daughter. Like, we're going to try it for 101 days, and if you like it, we'll keep it. You can also, and they also offer free shipping. So right now you get 50% off site wide for a limited time, 50% off. Just visit ghostbed.com/redacted and use the code redacted at checkout to get 50% off. Again, that's ghostbed.com/redacted. Use the code redacted at checkout to save a whopping 50% off site wide. So our thanks to them for supporting the show. Well, inflation is the hot button issue of the day because the Fed is about to slash rates in just a few days. What is today? Today is September 11th. Well, just in about 7 days, the Federal Reserve is going to slash interest rates for the first time, and they're going to likely do it four times the rest of this year. Inflation, the new August data is just out, up 2.5%. But this is how the, you know, the Democrats right now are trying to spin this to kind of protect Kamala Harris. Even though it was up by 2.5% in August, they're trying to spin it that it's down. Prices in August 2024 were up 2.5% higher than they were in August of last year. So just all your consumables up higher. That still means that prices are going up. They just went up slower than they did from July. So the prices went up and just a little bit slower, and Democrats are saying, yeah, that's great. It's going up, but slower. No, it's still going up. These people are insane.
That is not how you solve a problem. I mean, if my house was on fire, the fire department put out like three quarters of it and they start packing up, I'd still be like, hey, what about the, you know, the bathroom that's still on fire? Like, oh, well, we got most of it. It's slow. We slowed the fire down. You'll be fine.
You might not have a bathroom, but don't worry about it. We slowed it down. You got the rest of it. You can handle the rest of it, Philip. So these numbers went up slower than they did from July to August. From July 2023 to July 2024. As the Wall Street Journal points out, core inflation, a measure that excludes volatile food and energy costs, held roughly steady at 3.2%, sort of like unchanged. 3.2%. So food and energy costs, like the one of the most important factors in inflation numbers, held steady, no change, 3.2%. But the journal calls this a cooling streak. It's not a cooling streak. Prices are still increasing and they're already too high. And of course, stocks were down on this news. Gold prices going up, the U.S. dollar being devalued and going down, down, down. U.S. inflation was up by less in July. This does not mean prices are going down despite headlines saying that this is cooling. This only means we're going up less fast. And I love how politicians try to spin this. You remember this clown out of the U.K., saying, oh, yeah, you know, under the Rishi Sunak administration, things are, you know, getting better. We're really cooling on inflation. This is the same strategy that the Biden administration is using. Watch this moment. This is unbelievable.
Great news for people at home. We saw inflation coming down. Crucially, we saw food prices coming down. And this hasn't happened by accident. This has been a result of the government working very hard with the bank, with the Monetary Policy Committee, to make sure we've got these inflation rates coming down steadily now. Real wages are now rising and people can have a little bit more money at the end of the month. And that's really good news.
Just to be clear, because I think you misspoke just then. Mm. When you said prices were coming down, did you mean prices are going up?
Sorry, the rate of which prices are rising are coming down.
So
inflation is coming down.
Yeah. Food prices are still going up.
Yeah, I think our view is
fine. So
just explain this to our viewers. You say inflation is coming down, and people say to us, I know, but the prices of goods are going up. So just explain to our viewers how those two things can be true.
So So real wages are rising and have been rising now for the last 8 months. And that's really important because it means more money in your paycheck at the end of the month. And that is looking at wage rises and then taking away the impact of inflation. So that is really important.
But prices are going up.
Prices are going up. I mean, the inflation, as you'll know, the target rate of inflation for the country that the Bank of England sets is 2%. So that is the target. That is what the Bank of England and the government are working towards.
Right. So inflation is coming down, but prices are going up. Can I just ask?
Just to be clear. So, yeah, prices are going up. Yes, prices are going up. I misspoke earlier when I said prices are going down.
Yeah, and wages are going up 1% while inflation goes up 3%. So it's still balancing out.
Yeah, but it was 4%. So prices are getting better, or they're not getting worse slower.
They're not getting worse slower, more slowly. It's a creeping cancer. The media frames this as a win, of course, because experts had expected a 3% increase in August. So they're sort of celebrating. They're like, yeah, we thought it would be 3%. It's only 2.5%. Great. So it still went up 2.5%. What are you celebrating, you fools? So that means that Americans continue to put more bills, higher costs for putting food on the table, and, you know, for their energy costs and everything across the board right now. Americans have no savings, none. They've tapped it all out. It's gone. The new data out from about 2.5 weeks ago shows Americans' credit card debt is an all-time high and savings is at zero. They're putting all of their savings, they're putting all of their purchases on credit cards. And consumer spending is exceptionally low. Just look at the Dollar General numbers from the past few days. Dollar General and dollar stores showing that their consumers, their core customers, can't afford to shop there. At the dollar store. I mean, where else can you go? The dollar store is too expensive for you now?
I mean,
they want to celebrate.
Go to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that right now, fast food restaurant. Look how much a freaking hamburger is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the other night we were running around like crazy had to pick up some food for the kids. We stopped at Wendy's. By the way, they make a great bacon cheeseburger, by the way. And I got 3 Wendy's cheeseburger meals for the kids. And unbelievable. It was like $40. $40. Like, I'm like, what happened? What in the world happened? I used to ride my bike with my friends over to, you know, when I was a kid, you know, go to Burger King, run down to McDonald's, whatever, you know, in the summers, you know, in between swimming at the pool and going to swim practice and all that. Stop down at Burger King, grab a value meal for $4.99. $40?
When I was a kid, I literally walked to a place called Burger Chef and could get hamburgers for 25 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my life.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable. Do you remember the dollar menu? I know we're sound like, yeah, I remember back when I was a kid, I walk up to school.
My rotary phone.
But I mean, what that says is it's not, and by the way, we should point out that is pure inflation. That is, the size of the hamburger hasn't changed at all. The number of fries in a McDonald's value meal hasn't changed at all. What has changed is the cost of it. It's the same damn Happy Meal, now twice or three times as expensive. That is inflation. Your U.S. dollar is worth far less than it was 10 years ago, 3 years ago. It's unbelievable. It's not great. No matter how you spin it, the government shows no signs of decreasing their spending. Kamala Harris last night, of course, talking about wanting to give $25,000 in down payment assistance to people buying a home. Where's that money going to come from? And you want to further screw over the housing market? My God. And then we get this data today. Almost 1 in 4 millennials and Gen Zers say they won't have kids due to finances. 1 in 4. We can't afford it. Almost 1/4 of millennials and Gen Z adults without children say they plan to stay that way. The reason? Money. 23% of these adults ranging from 18 to 43-year-olds said their financial motivation to remain childless boils down to 2 issues. Financial freedom that comes from not having kids, as well as concerns about their ability to foot the bill for raising children. And of course, this is exactly what they want. I know we joke about that phrase, right? But that's exactly what Democrats want. They don't want you to have children. They don't want a nuclear family. They don't want you to procreate. And they've mocked it recently. What was a story we did 2 weeks ago here on the show about how liberals are... It was a New York Times piece, wasn't it, saying... parenting is really hard. It's too stressful, and you really should just not do it.
Oh, yeah.
So just don't have
like
children.
A mental condition, they were saying. Like,
yeah, it's like just a mental condition. So don't be a parent. Don't be a parent. Don't have kids. But don't worry. Democrats have a plan. We'll just bring in 25 to 30 million illegal immigrants, and we'll replace, you know, we'll replace you with that. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's increasingly expensive to raise a child. One study finding parents typically spend $240,000 on each child from birth to age 18. That's a 20% increase from 2016. I don't know about my daughter, who eats like a gallon of yogurt every day. It's like probably those prices are way higher than that number. But I mean,
mine's addicted to rice. So she's cheap. She just eats her body weight in rice every day.
That's, yeah, you're lucky on that one. My God. Yeah, incredibly difficult. But I love, this is how they're spinning it right now, is that, yeah, these inflation number is up 2.5% in August. But don't worry, it's being spun as down. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments. I just saw someone asking, hey, Clayton, will you clip this segment and publish this so we can share it everywhere? Yes, we'll clip this a little bit later.
100%.
So it'll be up on our channel after the show today, so you can share this out, please, because this is pure propaganda. But yeah, I would love to hear from you guys in the comments here. Like, how many of you guys are experiencing this? Let me know down below what you guys are experiencing. And do you believe that prices are going down, or are they going up for you in your daily life? And we don't need to be hyperbolic about it. We don't need to be shouting and yelling about it. But just, what are the average things you're buying? Milk, eggs, cheese, you know, bread. What are the things that you're serving your family at breakfast, having for lunch, having for dinner? Do you know, have you seen an increase? Or are those prices going down?
I know too? as a majority meat eater, meat has completely skyrocketed.
Oh, like, my God.
At Costco, I used to go to Costco and could get, like, you know, a nice thing of steaks for like $30, which is now like $60.
Yeah, I was there looking at steaks the other day, and I was like, holy cow. It's like, holy cow, literally. Must be a holy cow. I'm like, holy smokes. Like, what, 60? It was like $69 for, you know, to do some steaks for the family. I was like, oh my gosh, that's insane. But don't worry, they'll feed you bugs. So they don't want you to eat meat. So they'll feed you bugs. By the way, I just co-authored a brand new report on inflation. And this is one of the best reports that I've ever co-authored with my partners on this. And we're looking at how the U.S. dollar dropped to all-time lows, or the 2024 lows for the year. But this is all ahead of what's about to happen in 7 days with the Fed's rate cuts and Jerome Powell and the Fed about to drop these rates. What's going to happen to the U.S. dollar? So go grab, this is a free report. So just go grab it. It's over at redacted.inc/inflation. Just put in your email address and we'll send you the PDF. And it's a really interesting report on what is happening right now with global interest rates coming down hard and how that will devalue the U.S. dollar and what we're expecting ahead of this rate cut session, this era of rate cuts coming up here in the next few days. So it's redacted.inc/inflation. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the debate a little bit tonight. The debate last night, and how the ABC moderators, it was basically a 3-on-1 attack against President Trump. Regardless of where you come down, you like Trump, you don't like Trump, you like Kamala Harris, you have to look at the legacy media and the destruction of the legacy media. Megyn Kelly just destroyed ABC over this. So we're going to look at that and the sort of fact checking that went on. So we'll do that. And we'll take some of your super chats here in a second. But first, America, you guys need to listen up. It's no coincidence we're seeing a surge of health crises right now, just as critical decisions need to be made. They're pushing the new COVID vaccine, right? Now we're seeing a COVID-19 spike. 1.2 million new cases reported daily. Then the World Health Organization declares monkeypox global health emergency, and now gearing up for bird flu summit in Washington, D.C. They're setting the stage for more planned pandemics. These aren't just coincidences. They're calculated moves to keep us in fear and control. So you need to ask yourself, were you prepared for the last pandemic? Shocking, 48% of Americans don't have any emergency supplies ready. When the stores shut down, they tell you that you can't leave your house. According to the National Center for Disaster Preparedness, we saw how the medical and pharmaceutical industries failed us the last time. They left us fend for ourselves. Do you want to count on them again? So that's why you need to take control. We have one of these wellness kits up in our laundry room. We keep it above our, by our medicine cabinet there, the wellness company, and their emergency kit. You should keep one on hand. It's their contagion emergency kit. It has hydroxychloroquine, has a Z-Pack in there, Tamiflu, and a nebulizer, has treatments that they don't want you to have, has a whole bunch of stuff in there that becomes very difficult to get, has ivermectin, And it has that Z-Pak in there as well. And life-saving medications for you to check out. Just a few clicks, you'll be right shipped right to your front door. Don't let yourself be caught off guard again. You should just keep one in your house. Visit twc.health/redacted to get your contagion emergency kit today. Use the promo code redacted at checkout to save $30. Once again, that's twc.health/redacted. Use the code redacted to claim your discount. So we thank Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, and his team for supporting our show. Well, last night was a bit of a disaster for legacy media, proving once again how no one's watching legacy media anymore. And when we're forced to, because it's the only channel carrying a presidential debate, it makes us sort of like gag, right? Oh, this is what people watch, used to watch back in the day. There was the three television stations and people used to put on their 6:30, you know, their six o'clock news every night. And this is what they were forced to watch, this propaganda. And so, of course, it was no surprise last night that ABC News, of course, who colluded with the Hillary Clinton campaign back in the day on the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax and the Steele dossier, colluded with ABC to push that story. It was no surprise at all then that you had ABC moderators basically trying to fact check President Trump, but lying about their fact checking. So fact checking President Trump in real time, but then not fact checking Kamala Harris in real time when she lied about fracking, when she lied about a whole host of issues, buybacks for guns. She said, "I never said that. That's a lie." And then all you need to do is search it up and you can see her video on camera saying that's a priority of mine for gun buybacks in the United States and getting rid of guns. Okay. But she told Donald Trump, "Don't stop spreading those lies." And the fact checkers at ABC just let her get away with it and didn't say a word about it. So if you're going to fact check, it should be equal, right? Or you should just shut up and allow the debaters to have a conversation back and forth. But instead, they chose to go right after President Trump. Here's the Western Lensman. I like his take on Twitter. He said, "This clip may be the most egregious example of ABC debate moderators' direct actions, inactions to affect viewers' perceptions of the information presented at the debate. Here are at least seven instances of this within a two-minute time frame. This is not bias. It's much worse." So let's play this. About seven different instances here in this time frame, and it's unbelievable. Watch.
Nancy Pelosi was responsible. She didn't do her job.
The question was about you as president, not about former Speaker Pelosi, but I do want Vice President Harris to respond here.
I was at the Capitol on January 6th. I was the vice president-elect. I was also an acting senator. I was there. And on that day, the president of the United States incited a violent mob to attack our nation's capital, to desecrate.
First of all, she wasn't there. She was there in the morning and then left. She also said there. She said that he incited a mob to attack the Capitol. False, as we know from his comments, peacefully and patriotically. Those comments are always left out of the statement. But ABC didn't fact check that and bring that up. Sorry, I'll continue the video.
Our nation's capital. On that day, 140 law enforcement officers were injured, and some died. And understand, the former president has been indicted and impeached for exactly that reason.
There were no police officers that died that day.
This is not an isolated situation. Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side. Let's remember.
So again, within that, that's just, I'm not even done yet. That's five things, right? So Trump said Pelosi is responsible for security at the Capitol. That is accurate. Muir then intervened in that and said, cut him off, and said that's, you know, and just went right to Kamala Harris and didn't acknowledge the validity of that statement. And then immediately just tease it up for Kamala, you know, to talk about January 6th. She said she was at the Capitol that day. We know that she was there in the morning, and then she went to DNC headquarters. And by the way, can we talk about the pipe bomb and how she was right next to the alleged pipe bomb at DNC headquarters? Interesting. Kamala says that Trump incited a mob. That's false. Said peacefully and patriotically. All of that was left out of this. And then again, police officers killed that day. False. No fact checking. That to me is so well known now. I mean, that was an easy one for David Muir or Lindsay, whatever her name is, from ABC to have said and cut Kamala off and just said, actually, that's not true. What you're saying is false. But instead, they let her go and they just continue with it. And then, of course, the fine people line in Charlottesville. But there's a few more. Let's play it.
That when it came to the Proud Boys, a militia, the president said, the former president said, stand back and stand by. So for everyone watching who remembers what January 6th was, I say we don't have to go back. Let's not go back. We're not going back. It's time to turn the page. And if that was a bridge too far for you, well, there is a place in our campaign for you to stand for country, to stand for our democracy, to stand for rule of law, and to end the chaos, and to end the approach that is about attacking the foundations of our democracy because you don't like the outcome. And be clear on that point. Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
Which was about the automobile. There will be a bloodbath in the automobile industry if he's not elected as it relates to tariffs and trade. But anyway, no fact checking on that at all. And so they just let her get away with that. That was 2 minutes. That was just a 2 minute clip that showed you about seven different examples. Thanks again to the Western Lensman for calling out that 2 minutes. But David and I last night and Philip, we sat here and did the debate live. And thanks to the tens of thousands of you that watched with us last night live during the debate, we counted countless moments on fracking, on any number of issues that were lies, that were not fact checked. Late-term abortions. I mean, the list was pretty endless, actually. So Megyn Kelly was watching last night, my old colleague at Fox News, and it was great to hear Megyn. You know, Megyn's, she, of course, has led a number of these debates. She's moderated a bunch of these Fox News debates in her time. And she had a lot of things to say about how she was absolutely ashamed, and she really destroyed ABC News. Listen.
Well, I watched it. Did you watch it? I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. I'm ashamed of those moderators at ABC News. They did exactly what their bosses wanted them to do. The person who runs ABC News is a close personal friend of Kamala Harris, that is responsible for Kamala Harris and her husband meeting. And they did Dana Walden's bidding tonight. It was 3-1 on that debate stage this evening. Hi, everyone. I'm Megyn Kelly, a special program tonight for you reacting to the debate. It was 3-1. It's very easy to look like you know what you're doing when both moderators are entirely on your side. Trump did the best he could under the circumstances, but it really was like three fighters in the ring pummeling one opponent, and Trump tried to take them all on. He did fine. He did as best as he could. He was thrown a few times to the point where he was unnecessarily defensive, and he was getting angry, and so was I. Were you? This was a mistake to trust ABC News with this debate. The Republicans must learn from this mistake. The same way the Democrats never, never agree to do anything with moderators they don't entirely trust.
Yeah. So I like what she says there, that the moderators did exactly the bidding of their bosses at ABC. Make Kamala look as good as possible, and fact check in real time. It takes the fact checking off of Kamala's plate, puts it in your hands as the moderators, puts Trump on the defensive, and then it's 3-1. Incredibly dishonest, and it really was a disgusting overall performance by ABC News. And again, why? You know, Trump likes television, so he's never shied away from a camera, you know? So I almost think he doesn't even care who's doing these debates, because he doesn't really care at the end of the day. But his team should, because why do they keep agreeing to these debates with these favorable liberal moderators and hosts from these different networks? I don't understand it. One of the things, though, that did come up last night that I think was one of the first things that was fact checked by the ABC moderators was about late term abortions. President Trump was talking about Virginia. He was talking about other states that allow post-birth abortions. And of course, in real time, you could see on Twitter people saying that's absolutely true. But ABC jumped in and defended it and said there are no states in the United States that allow a post-birth abortion. Well, this has gone viral over the past 24 hours where a young woman decides to put that to the test in her state. Watch this.
Right, calling the CARE Clinic in Bethesda, Maryland.
Thank you for calling CARE. How can I help you?
I am looking to have an abortion.
How far along are you?
I'm 34 right now. I am in a pretty desperate situation. My boyfriend is kind of out of the picture now, so I don't really have any support.
An abortion at any stage is actually much safer than delivering a term pregnancy. It's a 4 to 5 day procedure. We do some basic lab work on you and start to dilate your cervix. After that, we do what we call the fetal injection. A needle is inserted through the abdomen and into the fetal heart where lidocaine is injected, and that will completely numb the fetus so there's no pain. And then after that, we inject a medication called digoxin and another medication called KCL into the fetal heart, which will slow and then stop the fetal heartbeat. And then on that fourth day, depending on how your cervix is dilated, we'll break your water and then we'll give you a medication called misoprostol. Misoprostol will sort of induce contraction and increase the dilation of your cervix. You're going to have contractions and cramping, and then we'll assist you in sort of pushing in the induction and then remove all of the products of conception. You're definitely going to feel discomfort and cramping and a lot of pressure, but we do give you fentanyl and Versed during the procedure. We specialize in later trimester care. Our doctor is very well versed in what he's doing and he's very good.
So I'm not like a rare situation. Y'all help women this late in pregnancy all the time?
All the time.
Oh. Wait, the moderator said that wasn't happening.
Yeah, ABC News told us that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, ABC News told us that wasn't happening. The products of conception. Fetal injection. Okay. Well, thanks, ABC News, for all of your fact-checking. We really appreciate it. And when ABC News also jumped in about the cats and the Haitian cats in Ohio and all of this stuff, almost on, I think on every occasion, they were inaccurate with their fact checking, but they let all of the lies from the other side just permeate, just flow freely. And that's why no one trusts the legacy media anymore. All right, we're going to take some of your super chats here in a second. Unbelievable and disgusting. And that's why you need fair news right now, guys, because, I mean, it's no secret the media has a massive liberal bias since they cover up specific liberal narratives that fit within these liberal narratives right now. They push this stuff on us. They ignore tons of important issues. That's why they're out of touch with what matters to ordinary people. That's where our sponsor Ground News comes in. We use Ground News every morning as we're prepping for the show because it's very simple to do. Just use that QR code on your screen and you get 40% off unlimited access. What's cool about it is if there's a story you're researching, Ground News basically gathers related articles from around the world in one place so you can compare the coverage to figure out the spin on any particular media story. So you have all the liberal media this morning telling you that all of the stuff you heard last night was true or false or, you know, whatever. They're going to spin it on you. And the same from the Republican side. And then you can go to Ground News and you can actually get a closer look at whatever it is, whether it's President Trump's assassination attempt or the debate last night. Ground News gives you instant access to more than 700 articles, hundreds of them reporting all over the world with context on each of the publication's political bias so you can see where their biases are, all of that. It's really great. So you can see, oh, the USA Today, you know, USA Today is pretty much like a garbage newspaper, right? So is ABC News. They downplayed the shooting of President Trump during the assassination attempt. Then they had the Irish Times. Then they went as far as victim blaming. And they said, you know, it might even help Trump win the White House. So you have all these like different sources on all of these things. So use that QR code on your screen right now. And you can help see through the mainstream media narratives. Or you can go to ground.news/redacted. Get 40% off unlimited access to Ground News. It's great. I have it on my phone, have it on my tablet, and use it on my browser every morning as we're prepping for the show.
Yeah, I use it as well, and they do have a free version too. So, you know, like you can test it and play with it, and once you get onto it, get the premium. I like the premium just for all the other features that it gives you, because they have a browser extension. So if you're on a website, you can see the bias of the website right at the top of your browser.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's a premium feature. So I use it all the time. You can save articles. You can do all those sorts of things with the premium feature. So thanks to them for supporting us here. We really appreciate it. So let's take your super chats there. And let's see. C.A. Brad Gilbert. I don't know how to say this. Day terp your jobs is now day eat your jobs. Oh, I don't want to. Yeah, okay. I don't know exactly what that is, but thank you for your super chats. Any sort of Rumble rants as well. But yeah, what do you guys think of the debate last night? How many of you watched it in the chat? And we have a poll up as well.
You know what I wish? I wish that like four independent journalists on the left and four independent journalists with big audiences on the right, like four of them would come together and they would form an independent journalist debate. And know that they would have bigger audiences than any of these debates are getting. Well, the debates are getting an audience, but other than that, the channels themselves don't, the news stations. And say, hey, we demand you come to answer our questions or, you know, we'll call you out. Like, they have the power to do that. The independent journalists at this point combined have a bigger audience than any of these mainstream channels. And I wish that something like that would happen where there'd be this coalition that would do like an independent debate and demand those people come on there and ask them real questions and don't let them get away from answering them.
It'd be nice. It really would be. Yeah, we had a poll up here. Do you think ABC moderators were fair last night? The poll, we're going to end the poll in here in a second. 82% of you said no. 13% of you said you didn't watch it last night, and 4% said that yes, the ABC moderators were fair last night. It's curious. I'm just curious how they were fair. I don't understand that.
If you're a Kamala supporter, they were fair to her.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Well, they were more than fair. They were glowing. I think you'd have to even admit, even if you're a Kamala fan, like you have to admit it was pretty in the tank for her, right? Even if you.
If you go on X right now, no way. All the people that are that was presidential. She was the best, and all, like they're overlooking all of that. They don't even care about that because Reddit's there. Yeah,
Reddit. Yeah, Sherry Munson in our chat says, "Idea. Why don't you, Clayton, Natalie, and maybe Megyn Kelly and Tucker host a debate on your platform? That'd be great." I was talking with Tucker the other day, but he is like swamped. He's doing that big national tour right now. You know, he's like, he's like, every moment of my day is planned right now. It's been, he's like, it's great, but he's got no time at all. And I think he's doing that for the next few weeks.
And my answer to that would be, you'd have to have some balance there, which is why I said it would have to be a coalition of the right and the left, because you wouldn't want it to come off as, for any candidate to seem like it's going to be a pitch knife and pitchforks or whatever kind of thing. You'd have to have somebody on both sides so that both sides felt comfortable coming into it, knowing that they had some representation. So just having it people on the right, you know, that wouldn't work for them, but then having it just people on the left, it wouldn't work for like Trump, like they did last night. So you would have to have it balanced to where you had both sides represented.
Yeah. True. It's weird to think like that. That I'm on the right. I you know, it's funny because I call out both of these parties to me are corrupt. They're a uniparty. I say that all the time. I you know, I don't know where I am. I mean, I guess I want the government to stay out of my business.
The way that I explain it is it's a spectrum and we're all on this spectrum, but it's like where we were years ago, like Bill Maher would be considered more right now when he's like, you know, still talks about the left or whatever, but it's like we if you talk about certain things, you're automatically put in the category of right, where I feel like we aren't. We're like in the middle. We go, you know, right fiscally, left socially a little bit.
Indeed. Well, I got to run and pick up my daughter and make dinner. I'm sure many of you have a busy night to get to as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Remember, Right now, we are about to premiere our special 9/11 interview, our continuing coverage of the 9/11 attacks, and cutting through all of the propaganda and the narrative that they've been foisting on us. So if you're watching us right now on YouTube, please stay here because it should redirect you right then to that live premiere of that interview. And then additionally, after that, if you're on YouTube or if you're on Rumble, you can go over there as well and watch it on Rumble because we're going to be publishing it there simultaneously. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll be back here live tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you have a great night, everyone.